Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Jody. Jody's got a cheery good morning for me. Good morning to the kids. Kids, would you like to come and sit down now? I'll just get, tell the kids it's time for church, time to come and sit down. How are we going out on the deck there? Everyone got a seat? What a good problem it is to try and get everybody seated. We have got Jody, you're like, you're reading off my thing. We have a visitor. We've got lots of visitors here today. So if you haven't been here before or you're visiting us, a big welcome. But I'd like to welcome Michelle, who is here today, and she's going to bring us a sermon today. So I'm excited about that. That's really good. Thanks, Michelle. Michelle's driven up from Brisbane today. So thanks for coming. The good thing is there wasn't a lot of traffic on the road. We'll see what it's like on the way home. Hopefully it's still like that. Let me just let you know what's coming up with a couple of announcements. Oh, and first, let me tell you that the men had their breakfast yesterday. Looking for James. Oh, James isn't here today. No, he's gone to somewhere else, but that's okay. A great morning. 23 men yesterday joining for breakfast. Jan, was the breakfast good? I hear good reports of eggs and bacon. So those who are worried there wouldn't be eggs and bacon, you got your eggs and bacon for breakfast.
I had one this morning.
Very good. And the other thing I want to tell you is that fishing on Thursday, we had three new families just turn up. One was invited by another family. One man and his children were just playing in the park. So I had a chat and said, what are you doing? And they said, we want donuts. So come on over, kids, have a donut. They ended up fishing. They ended up staying till the very end and just connecting with everyone. What a great way for that just to happen so naturally. And another family that joined us as well that heard about it. So that's a great way to connect with people in our community. So I just wanted to tell you that good news about fishing. Now, next week, there are two things I want to tell you about. Mission stalls after church. So once a month, on the third Sunday of the month, so we can remember, is the day that the people who've been making jams and cakes and Rocky Road and things, which I hear are already taking pre-orders. So look, if you want your Rocky Road next week, you must see Joy. Sorry, Joy. Might be all blown out of all proportion now. So that's next week after church. And kids, do you know what happens on the third Sunday of the month that we like going to after church? No, we have picnic in the park. And everyone is welcome to come to picnic in the park, whether you are a kid or a family or a person on your own, whoever. You're all welcome to join us. Bring your own lunch. 12:30, Cremunda Park next week after church. Now, I want to just give you these reminders, or if you haven't heard them before, these are our reminders about COVID safety. So please, we have the right number of seats in here, and we just keep checking on our numbers so that we meet government regulations. And please keep your distance. If you're sitting near someone that doesn't belong to you or you don't live in the same house, just keep a little bit. That's all right. You can be close. I see Ray moved even closer to Sue. That's all right. But if you just keep that social distancing, physical distance between you. If you have a sniffle or a cough, please take your sniffle and cough outside and sanitize your hands. And if it's a really bad sniffle and cough, perhaps you should go home to bed. That'd be great. But otherwise, it's great to have you here, and we hope that you feel warmly welcome today as we join together and we celebrate Jesus. That's all I want to tell you about. I think that's all I need to tell you about. We're going to worship together. We're going to sing Be Glad in the Lord and Rejoice. And for our first song today, because it's a bit tricky standing, sitting, I'm going to invite you to stand for our first song as we sing Be Glad in the Lord and Rejoice. And it is inside, all the songs are inside your newsletter today. Thanks.
All right, let's stand and let's lift our voices and our lungs and see if we can't fill this big building.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, all ye that are upright in heart, and and you that have made him your choice, bid sadness and sorrow depart. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. What though in the conflict for right your enemy almost prevail? God's arm is just hid from your sight, are more than the foes which assail. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Though darkness surround you by day, your night by the night be o'ercast. Let nothing your spirit dismay, but trust till the danger is past. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, his praises proclaiming in song. Acclaim him with trumpet and voice, the loud hallelujahs prolong. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice.
Please remain standing as Tim prays for us.
Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that we can meet here today and encourage one another and worship you and bring everything that we have to you today. All our hopes, all our fears, everything that we are looking forward to, everything maybe that we are even dreading, Lord, we bring them to you today and we lay them at your feet. Lord, we praise you today and we lift your name up. Lord, as we think about coronavirus around the world and how it seems to be increasing and ravaging populations, Lord, we pray that you, Jesus, would be alongside those people, that you would bring comfort, that you would bring hope, that you would bring healing. You would be with all those who are suffering, that they would also experience your comfort and your love. And with all those that are caring for those people as well, Lord, we pray that you will be with them. Lord, we thank you that in our own country, things seem to be getting under control, Lord, and we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, but I also know that there is a sense of anxiety and fear that maybe things will flare up again. Lord, help us to trust you, knowing that you have the perfect plan for us, that you are in total control of this, and that regardless of how we think the world is going, we need to trust you and keep turning to you for our salvation and for each one of our needs. So, Lord, today again, I pray that we lift up everything that is on our heart and we give it to you and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Everyone say hello. Look. Can everyone see the kids when they're up there? Yeah? All right. So who has got news, any birthdays or lost teeth that they would like to tell everyone about? Emmy?
My birthday is December 17th and that is in 39 days.
39 days. We're counting down. Kira.
I have a wobbly tooth.
Kira has a wobbly tooth. How wobbly is it?
Just not that wobbly.
On a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being it's going to fall out. 1 being not wobbly at all. What do you think?
It's pretty wobbly.
It's pretty wobbly. Levi, you want to come here? Stand here.
I've got some news about after church, one of my friends are coming over to my house.
Oh, Levi has a friend coming over from school. Awesome, that's exciting. Anyone else have got any news to share with everyone? Any news? No? Amani, do you have any news? No news. All right, so the kids are going to go out with Brittany and Esther, and today they're going to be talking about when sin entered the world and doing some fun craft and some activities as well. So after church, if anyone would like to talk to the kids about what they learnt, yeah, that would be really good. I'm sure they would love to hear about it and talk about it with you. All right, kiddies, do you want to go around this way? Say bye.
We are just about to the 11th day of the 11th month. Wednesday is Remembrance Day or Armistice Day. Did you know we have at least six ex-servicemen in our congregation this morning? You didn't, did you? There are at least six here. We have at least 12 to 14 in our wider congregation. Did you know that? No. Now you know. Now what I would like us to do, I'm going to read the ode. I would like us to stand. And when I come to the end, lest we forget, we will remain standing for just a few moments. And I will repeat, lest we forget, and invite you to repeat the same. Then I'd like you to sit. I have something interesting to tell you. Now, would you please stand? They went with songs to the battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end against odds uncounted. They fell with their faces to the foe. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor years condemn at the going down of the sun, and in the morning we will remember them, lest we forget. Lest we forget. Please be seated. And in a moment we'll have a prayer for our nation. Red poppy? Yes. The purple poppy? Yes. And did you know we now have a white poppy? No? This is what the white poppy represents. Remembrance of all victims of war. Commitment to peace. Now, I like this part. To meet the challenge, to attempt to glamorise or celebrate war. Wear a white poppy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give this nation of ours leaders whose hearts are large enough to match the breadth of our souls. Give us souls enough, strong enough to follow the leaders of vision and wisdom. O Lord, give us hearts to choose leaders who will work with other leaders to bring safety and peace to this world. O Lord, give us leaders to lead this nation to virtue without seeking to impose our kind of virtue and the virtue on others. O Lord, as the song says, peace in our time to all the people, peace. Peace surely based upon thy will and built in righteousness. Thy power alone can break the fetters that enchain the sorely stricken soul of life and make it live again. Peace be on you today. Amen.
Thank you, Fred. We're going to have an opportunity to give of our tithes and offerings this morning, and we're just going to listen to the song, which I'm sure most of you are very familiar with. So if you want to sing along, I haven't put the words in your newsletter, but we're going to listen to the song Amazing Grace. So think about how amazing God's grace is while you're given this opportunity to give of your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. Together. God, I thank you because you are an abundant and amazing and awesome God. Lord, for all the gifts you give us, please take our offerings and our tithes today. Bless them and use them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
First reading this morning is taken from 1 Kings 19, verses 15 to 21, and this is from the New International Version. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Japhat, from Abel, Meloba, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I receive 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. The call of Elijah. So, excuse me. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat and gave to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Actually, I might just take this off. Oops, sorry about the racket there. So, all right, it's really great to be here today. I've been here before, but we're, you know, in the other space there. But something I really like about coming to Caloundra is I get to share in ministry with my friends Tim and Karen. Always a bonus. So thank you for the invitation once again. Now, I've got to make a confession. I've been spending a bit of time this week in front of the TV watching the election. Anyone else kind of gotten hooked into that?
No.
It's been a bit like watching grass grow. It's, you know, taken a while there. But it's interesting seeing the path to succession that is happening. And so we're going to start off this morning with, I've got some other pictures here, and what I'm going to get you to do is I'd like you to identify who the person is and then who succeeded them, okay? So who followed after them. So just make sure I've got all these things sorted. Okay, it always helps when it's turned on. All right, so who do we have here? Barack Obama. Who followed? Who succeeded him? Donald Trump. Do we have Donald Trump? That's right. And that happened through the United States Democratic election process. Now we have, who's this? Eva Burrows. She was a general of the Salvation Army. Who succeeded Eva? Ooh, a bit of discussion here. Wasn't Gowans, it was... Does this help? His name was Bram Tilsley. He was an American. He didn't last very long, though, because he had some health problems. But the way the succession is done in the Salvation Army is that you get a bunch of Salvation Army leaders, and they meet together for a process of discernment and election called the High Council. So that was Bram. Who's this one?
Wayne Bennett.
Wayne Bennett. Okay, now Wayne Bennett has been kind of coach of the Broncos on and off again. But in 2018, who succeeded him? Oh, okay, maybe I've made a mistake. This is who I've got. Okay, if I made a mistake, I'm sorry. I thought it was young Anthony Seibold there, and the way they seem to do succession is they just sack someone and employ someone else. I tell you, I really wouldn't like to be the coach of a football team because, seriously, your team loses a few times and you got all kinds of problems. Who's this one? King George the VI. Who succeeded King George the VI? Queen Elizabeth II. And we know that happens because the royal family's got this procedure where they know who's going to come one after the other. And so today we're going to follow along in the scripture reading and look at the succession of someone else. And that was the succession from the prophets Elijah to Elisha. Now, this can be a bit tricky to work out because their names are very similar. However, here's the secret clue, okay? J comes before S in the alphabet. So Elijah comes before Elisha. Okay, may that not be the only thing you take away from today, however. Now, you may like to get out your Bibles, and if you've got them with you, and follow along. And if you would, you could turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Elisha before he became a prophet. In fact, really all we know is that he came from the town of Tishbe. And I just got to say, Joy, you did such a fantastic job pronouncing all those names. I was very impressed. Okay, so Elijah, though, comes from the town of Tishbe, and he bursts onto the scene in 1 Kings 17. Now, he in that chapter, he predicts a drought, he does some miracles, and then he challenges King Ahab, who is the king of Israel, to meet him on Mount Carmel with a whole bunch of prophets who are prophets of Baal and Asherah, because the challenge is to see which God is more powerful. And then chapter 18 is something quite familiar, I think, to many of us here. And it's the story of, the prophets of Baal, they've got their little altar there, they've got a cow sitting on top of it, a dead one, all ready to be sacrificed and burnt up. And they are praying for God to send fire from their God, Baal, to send fire from heaven to accept this offering. And the prophets of Baal, they're dancing around and they're pleading and they're praying and nothing is happening. And Elijah starts to mock them a bit, but still nothing happens. And then a little later on, Elijah builds his little altar. And this is drought time, but he gets a whole bunch of buckets of water, absolutely drenches this altar with water. So it is really, really wet. And then he just stands and he prays, Lord, send your fire. And God sends a fire down and the cow, the sacrifice is consumed and even the stones of the altar are destroyed. That's a pretty big sign that the God of Elijah was powerful, right? Way more powerful than the God of Baal. But then Ahab's wife Jezebel hears about this and she is very cross and she threatens to kill Elijah. And so Elijah goes from this real spiritual high point on Mount Carmel where he sees God at work and where he's leading and all kinds of amazing things are happening, and he is frightened. He's afraid, he runs away, and he just descends into the real state of depression. And it's from there then that he meets God. And once again, God restores him. He restores him through nourishment, through rest, and through his presence. And then we pick up the story in 1 Kings 19. Verse 13, kind of 13b, so the second half of 13. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Have you ever felt like that? Just that it's you against the world? Uh-huh. Yeah, I think we've all had that feeling at some stage that it's just really, really hard and I'm all by myself in this. But then in verses 15 to 17, God answers Elijah. And it's as though he's saying, "Mate, you are not alone. I've got two things. that are going to be absolute game changers for you. He says, firstly, there's this guy. His name's Elisha. I want you to meet him. He's going to be your successor. You can teach him. You can train him. You can disciple him. You'll work together. And you can share the load. But that's not all. Because there are also 7,000 people in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal. 7,000. Now, during the time, you know, there was a lot of pressure to pray to Baal. There was a drought. He was apparently the god of fertility, the god who was going to send the rain. People were bowing down before him, but guess what? It was still drought. But God says there are 7,000 people who have not yet, who have not bowed down before the god Baal. These people are my people. Now, if God had said, Elijah, there's a dozen people, that might have made him feel, all right, a dozen people, that's good. Or what if he'd said, Elijah, I've got 200 people? I could imagine Elijah again thinking, oh, wow, 200, yeah, that's good. I'm totally not by myself. But 7,000. As Karen said a moment ago, we have an extravagant God. 7,000 people who had not turned the knee. So back to Elijah. He's very obedient to God. He leaves his hiding place and he travels to Abel-Meholah and he asks around for Elisha, Elisha, son of Shaphat. And he finds him working on the family farm with 12 yoke of oxen. And there we have him there with his oxen. And he's just engaged in his daily life when Elijah comes looking for him. All right, Karen, do you mind bringing over my prop? It's just there because I've got this microphone on a leash and so I can't walk very far. Thank you. So I have here, well, it's not actually Elisha's cloak, obviously, but a cloak. This is actually given to me from one of the ladies at Stafford. It was something that she wore and held. It was quite special to her, her cloak. So we'll just have it up here as a reminder. Because Elijah goes up to Elisha, he takes off his cloak and he puts it around the shoulders of Elisha. Now, as he does this, it's quite symbolic. It's symbolic saying, Elisha, I'm going to mentor you. I want to disciple you. I want to teach you. I want to train you. I want you to come and to be with me, to learn this whole prophet job from me. But he's also saying with it, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to look after you. And Elisha counts the cost quickly. He slaughters his oxen. He cooks them on the wood that he'd been using for the plow and the yoke. He has a feast. Invites probably his friends and family, the neighbourhood. He's really burnt all his bridges, hasn't he? Yeah, that's his livelihood. He's a farmer. That's his cattle. That's his method of ploughing the ground. There's no turning back for him. He says goodbye. He leaves everything to follow Elijah. And that's a really, really powerful statement of commitment because there is no turning back for Elisha. Now, according then to Bible commentators, Elijah and Elisha spent probably 7 or 8 years together. And during that time, Elisha was intentionally discipled. And we learn a lot from other people, don't we? Sometimes it's the formal things that they tell us, but other things we learn from them is how they live life, how they react to different things, how they respond to people. And so Elisha would have learnt all those other things from Elijah as well. We know that there's a couple of stories from particularly 1 Kings 17 of Elijah and some really great miracles. Now, I'm assuming Scripture it's fairly silent in these years, but my assumption is that God doesn't stop working through Elijah during that time. And that Elisha is witnessing this. Elisha is witnessing God using Elijah. And through that time, over and over again, this God that we serve is powerful. This God is more powerful than the Baals. This God answers prayer. This God that Elijah and Elisha both serve, is powerful and he works miracles. And we're going to take a moment and sing about this God, because there is no God like Jehovah.
Words are in the thing there. These are the days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we hear the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
The second Bible reading this morning is taken from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. That's 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to the heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck it the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked when he struck the water. It divided to the right and to the left.
Elisha's got some stickability, hasn't he? Elijah keeps saying, "Come on, no, you just wait over here." "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep following you, keep following you." He really wants to stay around there. All right, let's move on now. Who remembers this? Yep, just over 20 years ago this was. Sorry for those who can't see. Kathy Freeman lighting the Olympic torch at the Sydney 2000 Olympics. I remember this event quite well. I was living in America at the time and I had a two-week-old baby, and the nature of two-week-old babies is you don't go anywhere much. So I sat on the couch and I watched a lot of Olympics. And it's interesting, though, learning a little bit about the torch. So we know they light them, the torch is lit from the sun on Mount Olympus in Greece, and it then kind of will travel around the world, ending up at the hosting city. But for Sydney 2000, was it 16,000? Let me get my numbers right. 13,400 people were involved in carrying the torch, and 11,000 of those were carrying it around Australia. Did anyone go and see the torch as it passed by? Yes. Yep, some people did. It was kind of a significant thing, wasn't it? Yeah, to see the Olympics there. Did anyone happen to carry a torch? No, none of us quite that famous, hey? So in our first scripture reading, we read of Elijah intentionally placing his cloak on Elisha, symbolising that he wanted Elisha to learn from him and one day to succeed him. And then in 2 Kings chapter 2, the one that Derek has just read, we read of the conclusion of Elijah's career as a prophet. And it's the point that he knows he's got to concede power and his position to his apprentice. Now, Elisha has been developed as a prophet. He's had a whole bunch of on-the-job training, and in the very final moments, he asks Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. Now, it's all a little bit mysterious, the chariot of fire, but then before his eyes, Elijah is taken up into heaven. And when he's gone, here we go, Elisha sees that his cloak remains. That's a really powerful symbol, isn't it? It's like, okay, Elijah gives the cloak to Elisha initially, puts it on him, you know, okay, this is what I want you to do. And then for a period of time together, they engage together in ministry. And now the cloak is passed on. There is a transition. And so Elisha steps into the role as prophet. And he was a mighty leader, doing even greater things than Elijah. It's really interesting, actually, if you record the number of miracles in Scripture that Elijah did and then the number of miracles that Elisha did, guess how many more Elisha did? Two times. Interesting, hey? And we know the cloak wasn't magical. There was no nothing particularly special about that cloak, but it was what it was symbolic of. And Elijah and Elisha were different people, and I'm sure the band of prophets that followed went around with them noticed that there was a change of leadership. They would have had different ways of doing things. And, you know, transitions in leadership are often difficult. And I think it's one of those things that in a church context, we always need to be looking out for, because there's a lot of churches around where, you know, all the, I'm going to say the power, but the power and the influence and the authority may be held by just a couple of people. And that's really not healthy, is it? You know, in 2016, after a couple of really tough years, I had a breakdown. And there were a bunch of factors that contributed to that. But one of them was that I felt that no one else was willing to engage in leading things that I thought were important. And so I took the responsibility on myself. And as a result, I was way more involved physically and mentally than what I was capable of doing. And, you know, I felt during that time, I cried out like Elijah did a number of times, "Lord, I'm being very zealous here, but I'm alone. You know, no one will help me." But you know what? I was too busy to intentionally be mentoring or discipling anyone else and training them up to be leaders, to assist me and to be on my place. It's a real tension, isn't it? What do I do? Do I run it or am I working with others? Can anyone here identify with that? You don't want to go down that path, Calandra Corps. So let's just take a moment and consider our response by kind of putting yourselves in the... Oops, let's just change the next picture here. Okay, that's coming back across the river. By putting yourselves kind of in the shoes of either Elijah or Elisha. So as Elijah, you might be someone who's been around a little while. God may have used you in some really mighty ways. You know, you might have seen God work in ways that you knew without a doubt that was God. And you might be holding on to a couple of batons too. Or perhaps you think of yourself a little more like Elisha, where you're in the fields, or in your place of employment, of work, doing your regular life stuff. But then you feel God is calling you to give everything you've got to Him, to make a complete change of direction in your life. And that might involve physically burning your livelihood, you know, to follow in a different way. Elijah or Elisha? Or maybe there's parts, both, you've got parts, hang on, maybe you can identify with both of them in different kind of things in your life. But then what do you do with that? You can think, yeah, I can identify a bit with that. But then do we just kind of walk out and think, yeah, I've identified with him and now I'm going to go on and do my regular life? Or it's a case of, what do I do with that? So maybe I can identify as Elijah and I've got this cloak and I'd like to pass this cloak on to someone else. And so your prayer is, Lord, who should I pass the cloak on to? Who do I need to invite to join me in ministry? Who can I share? Who can I tell about the wonderful things that God has done in my life? How can I just share that God has answered prayer, and I want everyone to know that? But thinking specifically of just, you know, one or two people that you can really invest in deeply and intentionally. And I'm going to leave this little cloak up here. And I would encourage you, we're going to have a time of reflection in a moment, but I would encourage you as we're singing this to be thinking of who could I be speaking into? You know, are there... Is the next generation, you know, is it my kids, is it my grandkids, nieces or nephews that perhaps don't know the Jesus that I know? And kind of just come up and, you know, grab a hold of the cloak and think, what can I pass on to them? How can I pass on to them things? Or perhaps you're thinking in more of a church context and thinking, you know, I'm running this particular section or group and I'm doing it alone and that's not healthy and I need to identify someone else to train up, someone else to walk alongside with me, that then when I need to move on, they can take over. That's as Elijah or Elisha. Is God calling you to follow him and just to give it everything you got? To put aside all things and just to follow him. No turning back. No turning back. When Elisha burnt his cattle, burnt his plow, he had nothing else. It was all about God. I have decided. He said, I'll have decided to follow God. But we tend to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. In fact, we sing it, don't we? I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's just sing that now.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm not going to turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus and I want people in my family to know that, and I'm going to share the Jesus I know. I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm going to speak into someone else's life. I'm not going to turn back. As we're just going to watch a clip now, and it's a beautiful song of worship. And as we watch it, as we listen to it, I challenge you just to keep praying. Lord, who is it that you want me to feed into? And then afterwards, after our worship time is over, if you want to talk, if you want to pray, come and just talk to one of the leaders. Or again, you might want to just come up and grab the cloak. Think, who's the cloak for today?
Praise the Father. that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who
forever to the King of Kings. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we do lift up our praise to you. Lord, we thank you for the work you've done in our lives. And Lord, may we not be afraid to ever share that. Lord, may we share our story. Lord, may we have the opportunity to speak into the next generation and tell of how wonderful you are. May we have the opportunity, Lord, to speak to our children, to our grandchildren, and tell them that Jesus brings peace and hope and life and joy. And Jesus, if we are being called this morning really intentionally to follow you, to give everything we've got over to you, Lord, may we know that without a doubt that you are the God who sends fire from heaven, the God who answers prayer, and the God who's not going to let us down. Lord Jesus, today I pray for each and every person here. Lord, as we have thought upon your word today, help us to respond in ways that are cause action within us, Lord. May we not just leave here today and go home and think, yeah, we learned something today, but may we go home, Lord, with changed minds and change hearts and change attitudes. Lord Jesus, may your kingdom grow and your kingdom come as a result of what we can do in just our little corner here. And Lord, we just pray your continued blessing upon each one of us. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thanks for your word, Michelle. Thine is the glory. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. There's a hallelujah out there somewhere. I heard a whisper one. Thank you. All right. If it's comfortable, if it's doable for you, let's stand and let's sing. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son.
Torn away, kept the folded grave clothes where thy body lay. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. And Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let his church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For her Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, has won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, has won.
And let me leave you with a benediction now. Go in peace. Go in peace with the hope that you have. A hope that you should be ready to share the good news that you have in Jesus. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go with the freedom that you have, the freedom purchased by the blood of Jesus. Go in peace. Go in peace now in expectation of the glorious return of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Go in peace to share the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.